Eucharistic heart of Jesus, make our hearts like unto thine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate, on the third day within the octave of the Sacred Heart, the feast of the Eucharistic heart of Jesus. Today's feast day allows us to prolong, for one more occasion, a few wonderful moments of adoration and the great privilege of the Mass before the Blessed Sacrament exposed. Today's feast day of the Eucharistic heart combines the two themes of those great feast days which we celebrate each year, Corpus Christi, and then after the feast of the Blessed Sacrament, the feast in octave of the Sacred Heart, of love and of reparation. Today's Holy Mass is offered up for the Purgatorial Society, for all of its members, both living and deceased. And it will certainly be a very efficacious Mass, this Mass with all of these extra graces of the Blessed Sacrament exposed. Today's saint, the patron saint of youth and of young men in particular, St. Aloysius Gonzaga, is known as the Angelic Youth. And he will show us how we can make that prayer true in our own lives, if we're young or if we're old, makes no difference. That is to say, Eucharistic heart of Jesus, make our hearts like unto thine. How are our hearts to be Eucharistic hearts? However could that be? To be a Eucharistic heart, to have a Eucharistic heart, would mean from the Greek, from the meaning of the word Eucharist, first and foremost, to have a heart that is full of gratitude. Gratitude in the very first place for God's transforming, sanctifying grace. You can imagine the gratitude of St. Aloysius Gonzaga when, as a little child, with the use of reason, he knew about God and the grace of baptism and the Blessed Mother and his holy Catholic faith. How grateful he was, and how he put all of those graces into practice right away. And then, as soon as he could, by the custom of the day, his was a Eucharistic life. Imagine the beauty of the scene. A saint gave a saint first Holy Communion. St. Charles Borromeo gave a little child, Aloysius Gonzaga, his first Holy Communion. And later on, another saint would have an influence in his life, St. Robert Bellarmine. So the first quality, then, is that a Eucharistic heart, if you have one, makes you to be grateful. So then we are grateful to our Lord for, as we say, abiding with us all days in the sacrament of his love. We expressly, as it were, we come out and we show our gratitude by our frequent visits to the Blessed Sacrament, by our frequent reception of Holy Communion, by our devout regular assistance at Holy Mass, by all of these means, by little prayers during the day, far away, at home, spiritual communion too, expressing our love, our devotion, our gratitude to our Lord, that the very heart of our church is the Eucharistic heart of Jesus, living, beating with love for us, dwelling under the sacramental veil there in the tabernacle, in the ciborium, or tonight in the monstrance. A Eucharistic heart is a grateful heart. A Eucharistic heart, next, is a single-minded heart. We saw that beautiful quality in the most pure heart of Mary for her feast day on Saturday, the Saturday within the octave of the Sacred Heart. What does it mean to be pure of heart? It means to be all for God, without any division, without any distinction or any distraction. Everything for God. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Just like our Blessed Mother, so too in his own way was St. Aloysius, the angelic youth, all for God. That is what it is to be pure of heart. So there's no room for any compromise with sin of the flesh or of the spirit. One is totally pure when one is all for God. That is the meaning, too, of a Eucharistic heart. Next, a Eucharistic heart is a humble heart. We consider the humility of our Savior, hiding his divinity and his humanity under the sacramental veil, the appearance of bread and wine in the tabernacle. We consider our Lord so irreverently treated. We consider the conditions of his reservation in the Blessed Sacrament, which even under the best of circumstances, could not begin to express the homage that is due to true God and true man and the King of Kings who is here on our altar and who deigns to come to us. Our Lord leads us all in giving us a wonderful example of humility of heart. A Eucharistic heart is a humble heart, necessarily so. Saint Aloysius, in his desire to make up for sin, never to fall into sin, and to keep himself on a purely supernatural path, as a young man, a teenager, imposed many and strict penances and difficult practices on himself. Severe flagellations, long fasts, very humble works, that sort of thing. But then when he became a Jesuit seminarian, why then he no longer had the use of his own will, and he had to conform himself to his superiors. He wasn't free to make up penances, prayers, or pious practices as at will, as most of us surely would be, except that we don't, but I mean we could without any difficulty. No, he had to obey. And that was the humility of his Eucharistic heart that St. Aloysius did what he was told. He gave up this practice. He modified another one. He did exactly the will of his superiors. He was blessed to have another saint, Robert Bellarmine, as his director. But still, even if his superior had not been a saint, he would have been just as humble and just as obedient. A Eucharistic heart is humble. And last of all, a Eucharistic heart is penitential. We see our Lord's heart surrounded with thorns. We see our Lord's heart surmounted with a cross. We recognize the need that we have of penance to atone for past sins, to keep ourselves from falling into sin, to have the dominance of the spirit, an angelic spirit, over the flesh. We know it's a daily struggle, and unless we have some real form of self-denial, that is to say of penance, not just a bit during Lent, or maybe on Fridays when it's difficult, but no, every day as part of our lives, our hearts will never be Eucharistic hearts. In the humility of his own heart, he saw the need of penance. And whenever St. Aloysius looked into his own heart and he saw some particular fault that he had committed or of a tendency, a bad sort of a pull towards sin, he was never surprised. He was always very humble and gentle about it. He looked into his own heart and he said, that's the ground of my soul, so the fruits should not surprise me. We constantly need these reminders so that we can at least continuously make a little progress towards our Lord, but that always has to be done with gratitude, with humility, with penitence, with obedience. Our saint became a saint, doubtless, from one Holy Communion to another. The bread of angels made him to be an angelic youth. By our devotion to the Blessed Sacrament, let's try ourselves to be saints. We will be if in our heart there is found the Eucharistic heart. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.